नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 48 पार्ट 1। प्रायेण भक्ति योगेन सत्संगेन विनोद्धव नोपायो विद्यते सम्यक् प्रायणं हि सतामहम्। प्रायेण भक्ति योगेन सत्संगेन विनोद्धव नोपायो विद्यते सम्यक् प्रायणं हि सतामहम्। प्रायेण भक्तियोगेन सत्संगेन विनोद्धव नोपायो विद्यते सम्यक् प्रायणं हि सतामहम्। माताजी प्रायेण भक्तियोगेन सत्संगेन विनोदः नोपायो विद्यते सम्यक् भक्तियोगेन सत्संगेन विनोदव नोपायो विद्यते सम्यक् प्रायणं हि सतामहम्। प्रायेण भक्तियोगेन सत्संगेन विनोदव नोपायो विद्यते सम्यक् प्रायणं हि सताम। प्रायेण फॉर ऑल प्रैक्टिकल पर्पसेस, भक्ति योगेन डिवोशनल सर्विस अनटू मी, सत्संगेन विच इज मेड पॉसिबल बाय एसोसिएशन विद माय डिवोटीज, विना विदाउट उद्धव ओ उद्धव न नॉट उपाय एनी मीन्स विद्यते देर इज सम्यक दैट एक्चुअली वर्क्स प्रायणम द ट्रू पाथ ऑफ लाइफ और एक्चुअल शेल्टर ही बिकॉज Satam of liberated souls. Aham, I. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And thus, if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. So we will be reading the first part of the purport. Lord Krishna has described to Uddhava the characteristics of Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, both of which are considered to be spiritual processes. Now, however, Lord Krishna clearly indicates that Bhakti Yoga is the only real means to totally free oneself from material existence, and that Bhakti Yoga is not possible without Satsanga or association with other Vaishnavas. On the path of Bhakti Mishra Jnana, or speculation on the absolute truth mixed with devotion, one is still affected by the three modes of material nature. The pure soul, liberated from all material qualities, has no tendency or desire to engage in philosophical speculation, severe austerities, or impersonal meditation. The pure soul simply loves Krishna and wants to serve him constantly. Jivera Swarupoye Krishnera Nityadas. Pure devotional service to the Lord is called Kevala Bhakti, whereas devotional service mixed with speculative propensities is called Gunabhuta Bhakti, or devotional service polluted by the material modes of nature. One who is actually intelligent does not make a show of philosophical wizardry, but rather discerns the superiority of pure love of Godhead and takes to the path of Kevala Bhakti. One who emphasizes so-called intellectual achievements is actually less intelligent, because such a person is more attracted to intelligence than to the pure soul, which is superior. It should be understood, however, that pure devotional service is not non-philosophical or anti-intellectual. The absolute truth is far more extensive than partial truth. Therefore, one who is in full knowledge of Lord Krishna has the greatest facility to engage in philosophical analysis, since a pure devotee is working with the entire range of conceptual categories. Those who do not know Lord Krishna are attracted to the impersonal Brahman or the localized Paramatma, but they are not aware of the ultimate category of understanding called Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lacking knowledge of Bhagavan, such imperfect philosophers certainly do not understand the expansion, interaction and withdrawal of the Lord's innumerable potencies, and thus cannot fully analyze them. By faithfully accepting everything Lord Krishna speaks as the absolute truth, one comes to the mature platform of philosophy and achieves perfect knowledge. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam tapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruho shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prayena Bhakti Yogena Satsangena Vinodhava Nopayo Vidyate Samyak Prayanam Hi Satamaham. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And thus, if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. Hare Krishna. So first I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, all the senior devotees who are here and all the assembled guests that I can speak on this topic. So it's an interesting verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna is so directly stating that what is the means to achieve him. Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know, is a scripture that was written by Srila Vyasadev in the mature stage of his realization. And after he had completed writing the entire Vedas, the Upanishads, the Mahabharat, the Puranas, he wrote everything and still he was not fully satisfied within his heart. So when he was in that state of dissatisfaction, at that time Narad Muni, his guru, he came to him, and then Narad Muni advised him that you are not feeling satisfied because though you have written, what you have written is humongous, it is unbelievable. We cannot imagine what is the achievement of Vyasadev. What he has written, what he has compiled is an unimaginable amount of literature which was in Smriti and Shruti, but it was never written down. So he actually compiled it, wrote it down, systematically presented the entire Vedic knowledge. So it is a huge achievement, but still he was not satisfied. So why is that? Because Narad Muni explained to him, because you have not written anything that directly and exclusively glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. You may have indirectly glorified him in so many ways, but directly glorifying the Lord and his devotees, you have not written anything. Therefore, you are feeling like this. So therefore, then Vyasadev started compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful compilation of the Lord's pastimes and the Lord's devotees' pastimes. So it is a privilege for us to even be able to read Srimad Bhagavatam because this speaks about the pure pastimes of the ultimate associates of the Lord, those who are intimately connected with the Lord. And we learn that Srimad Bhagavatam also teaches us so many different forms of surrender, so many different rasas of surrender. The five primary rasas, we hear about those different devotees. We hear about bhakti in the mode of ignorance. We hear about bhakti in the mode of passion. We We hear about bhakti in the mode of goodness. We hear about pure bhakti. All different topics are there. But they are all talking about Shri Krishna, about surrendering. Finally, the ultimate goal is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. And the 10th canto speaks about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And here in the 11th canto, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. This particular section, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, what we call the Uddhava Gita. And in this Uddhava Gita, here in this particular verse, if you see, it's a very specific verse where Krishna is saying very specifically that he says, I am the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And he says, if one does not engage in my devotional service. And what is that? Which is made possible by associating with my devotees. Then for all practical purposes, we are not talking any theoretical, any philosophical thing. For all practical purposes, Lord Krishna is saying, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. Meaning what? Bhakti is the only means. So it is a very strong statement that the Lord is making. He could have said so many things. He could have said that I prefer. Like in the Gita, he says, there are many, but bhakti is the best. You know, he says that he speaks about jnana, he speaks about karma yoga, he speaks about ashtanga yoga, dhyana yoga, he speaks about all the different yogas, but then he says bhakti is the best. That's what he says in the Gita. But here in Uddhava Gita, he is saying that bhakti is the only means. So it's a very interesting point that the Lord is making. And then in that same breath he is saying, this bhakti is made possible by associating with my devotees. So two things, bhakti is the only means, and the means to that bhakti is associating with the devotees. So in the purport, actually there are a couple of points that are made, so we will try to discuss depending on the time. So we said that bhakti is the only means to totally free oneself from material existence. So we see, we live today in a world which is full of distractions. One doesn't need to look very far for distractions. While we are studying, there are distractions. While we are eating, there are distractions. While we are chanting, there are distractions. While we are doing anything, no matter what you may be doing, there will always be some distraction available at that moment, which distracts you from what you are doing. We are talking to our children. You know, child is telling you something attentive, you know, with great passion and enthusiasm. Child is telling you something and our mind is elsewhere. We are distracted. We are chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We are chanting the holy names, but our mind is distracted. We come in the association of devotees, but our mind is elsewhere. So wherever we are, whatever we are doing, today distraction is available without effort. We don't have to make any effort to be distracted. It just happens very naturally. So in this age of distractions, if we call Kali Yuga, we say age of quarrel and hypocrisy. I am adding one more to that. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel, hypocrisy and distractions. Because it is very difficult for one to remain focused on the path that one has chosen. Whether one has chosen path of materialistic enjoyment, that I will just enjoy materially, I don't want any spiritual path. Or one has chosen a spiritual path, whatever spiritual path one has chosen, that I will follow, you know, spiritual path, I will try to attain the lotus feet of the Lord, or I will try to merge into Brahman. Whatever path one may have chosen, there is no shortage. Even for people who are materialistically inclined, who have no desire to, you know, in any way come to spiritual life, even for them distraction is galore. It is available in unlimited quantity. I remember when we came to bhakti earlier, you know, in the early 90s and in, you know, whatever that period of time, In the lectures, we used to hear Maya's agent. So at that time, we used to, who is Maya's agent? Anyone remembers? Maya's agent is television. People say Maya's agent is television. So television is, you know, because it is there in your living room, it has taken center stage in your living room, therefore it is Maya's agent. Then we used to speak of a couple of other Maya's agents also, which are not so dangerous. TV was considered the most dangerous, you know, agent. Then we started talking about newspapers. The newspapers also, as soon as in the morning newspaper comes, people leave their bead bag and pick up their newspapers. Newspaper is also Maya's agent. Then people started talking about internet. You know, as the 90s moved on, we came to the 2000s, the dot-com era. People started talking about how internet became Maya's agent. Why? Because all information all over the world, all the prajalpa from all over the world was now being made available to you, you know, on your computers. You didn't have to struggle to find prajalpa. Very easily it was available. So this was considered next Maya's agent. And then of course there has always been one Maya's agent, which is prajalpa. General prajalpa, which is talking mundane topics. Amongst devotees also we have this disease of talking mundane topics, or of sometimes criticizing each other, gossiping. These are very interesting things to talk. So all of these are what we used to call Maya's agent or distractions. But in today's day and age, all of these agents, Maya's agents, TV, newspaper, prajalpa, internet, all of these are not even in separate places. They are all sitting in our wallets, in our pockets, in our mobile phones. So the mobile phone has got everything. All Maya's agents have come together. They have joined forces. They have joined forces. One was enough actually. There was no need to join forces. But Maya's agents have come together in that one device to completely distract you. No matter what you may be doing, as I said, whether it is a material pursuit, you are saying that, no, I want to get promotion, I want to do very well in my job. In your job, when you are sitting in your job, people are on Facebook. You know, someone says, I want to study, I want to become doctor, I want to become chartered accountant, I want to do well, I want to get into IAS, I want to serve the country. Serve the country, but first, phone. You know, so distractions are there everywhere. No matter where we look. Important thing to understand for devotees, we sometimes feel that these distractions are there only for devotees. They are there for everybody. It is not that these distractions, Maya's agents, are only troubling the Vaishnavas. They are troubling everybody. So, for those who feel that there may be a better path, you know, maybe we can look at Jnana, maybe we can look at Dhyana Yoga, one of these things let's look at, you know, these things maybe. Bhakti mein jab rehte hain, when we are in bhakti, that time Maya bahut attack karti. Maya attacks a lot. But no, it's not that Maya is available and is, you know, Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. When Krishna says, this prakriti is Maya, all these things are working on all living entities. Whether you are following the path of bhakti or you are following the path of jnana. You know, if you say, I will scrutinizingly study scriptures, so Maya won't trouble me. Not like that. Maya is there for even for the jnanis. The distractions of this material world are there even for those who are performing Ashtanga Yoga. All the more so. When somebody is, imagine somebody sitting and, you know, doing dhyana. Sitting very tightly, controlling the life airs. Withdrawing senses from all material objects and trying to concentrate, you know, doing some sort of meditation. And at that time, peep, peep, you know, one notification comes on the phone. So it's not as if that is not there for those who are following any other path. So it is all the more difficult for those who are on the path of jnana and dhyana. Then these kind of distractions are there. All the more. Why? Because these processes, you know, why Krishna is saying that bhakti is the only means, we have to understand what is the reason why Krishna is being so specific, so direct. Because the process of jnana and dhyana, they depend on our capability. What is your capability And what is your commitment to the process? Whatever process is there. So these are bona fide processes. Not to say that the process of jnana is not a bona fide process to obtain the lotus feet of Krishna. Ultimately you will. Not to say it is not bona fide. It is very much a bona fide process. But still the Lord is saying, bhakti is the only way. Why is that? Because here in jnana and dhyana, we depend on our ability. What ability do I have to follow this process? What commitment do I have? It requires relentless commitment. You understand what is relentless? Relentless means like the rains in Kerala currently. Nothing is stopping it. No matter how much relief measure you may give, if more rain comes, the water level just increases. There's nothing you can do. Relentless, again and again. Constantly it is beating down. That is relentless rains, which is not willing to stop. Maya is going to attack you relentlessly. At that time, we have to have relentless commitment that no, I will not give up studying scripture. No, I will control my senses. Very, very difficult. And both these processes by design. By design. So in the previous purports it is described that the process of jnana, where two jnanis who are intellectuals and who are studying the scriptures very, very scrutinizingly. So he says that two jnanis cannot stay together. It's very difficult for them to be together because they will naturally get into an argument. You know, two munis who are very scrutinizingly studying scriptures, it is understood that they will have different opinion about the same point. It is understood. It is to be accepted. They are not considered muni unless they have something unique to say as per the standard of jnanis. So now you imagine if both of them are discussing about a particular aspect of Shastra. Two jnanis come together, there will be a debate. There will only be debate. You will keep fighting, you will keep arguing, you will never come to a conclusion. It is very difficult to convince a person who doesn't want to be convinced. Right? As they say, Radha Gopinath always says, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So even if you convince and convince and convince, and the person finally, you know, says, okay, you have won. You have defeated the person in the argument. But their opinion has not changed. Ki, theek hai, I am not able to defeat him, but I am only right. Very difficult. So these are loner kind of processes, meaning akele baitho aur adhyan karo. Sit alone and study scripture word by word, understand each word, what is being spoken, understand what is material energy, what is spirit soul, what is Brahman and what is the material energy. Everything that is scrutinizingly studied, sit alone and do it. Very difficult to do it alone. Imagine, you know, for those of us who are academically inclined. So how many over here love studies, you know, or loved studies in school and college? Right, there's a minority, hardly maybe around 4 or 5 people raise their hands. They say, do you love studies? Very few people, both come. Right, now, if that is the only means, studying Upanishads and Vedanta, very scrutinizingly, if that is the only means, how many of us can do it? Very difficult. And it needs tremendous sense control. You are supposed to actually, in the process of both these processes, dhyana and jnana, it requires renunciation. You are required to renounce your job, renounce your family, and take, you know, go to some isolated spot where you will not be troubled by anyone. And there you take shelter of the process of dhyana and jnana. So which is, as Krishna uses the word, practical purposes. For all practical purposes. So people sitting in this room, for example, who have families, who have jobs, who have careers, who have businesses, who have so many connections with society, for all practical purposes, we cannot do it. It's very tough. And requires tremendous sense control, because if you are going and staying in a forest and you are living in a isolated space, Even if you go to the forest, it is said that even if you leave your wife and you go to the forest, or you leave your husband and you go to the forest, still there are no forests in Mumbai or in and around Mumbai now, but even if you find some forest and you go and stay there, it is said that even if you leave your wife and go, still six wives go with you, which are the anarthas. These anarthas are still with you. So the distractions will not stop. The thoughts in your mind will not stop. If we have enjoyed sense gratification all our life and then suddenly we take to this process, don't think that suddenly, you know, all the senses and all the anarthas in the mind, they all accept, hey, very good, yeah, this person has taken shelter of a spiritual process. Excellent. Now we will stop troubling him. No. They continue to trouble us. So it requires tremendous self-control. Withdrawing the senses from all the sense objects. That is what is required. Again, very difficult. And then finally, even if we succeed, even if we make great progress in this path, which is a long path, even if we make great progress in this path, it is not necessary we will attain perfection. It is not necessary. You know, we may still struggle in the process of jnana, it is so dry. Even if we finally attain the Brahman, the soul is pleasure seeking by nature. Anandamayo bhyasat. The soul is pleasure seeking. So even if we attain something in the, you know, Brahman, because of the nature of the soul, it is looking for service. It keeps looking around. Hey, idhar kuch hai nahi, there's nothing to do here. And finally the soul again comes back to the material world. And for yogis, there are many tests along the way. When you are a yogi, when you are following the path of Ashtanga Yoga, in that path also, there are tests. At some point of time, one starts getting siddhis. One starts getting certain powers. And these powers are very irresistible. You imagine suddenly, while you are speaking, boof, you just vanish from the spot. You know, and you land up in Paris, and poof, you vanish and you land up in the US. Poof, you vanish and you're back here in the temple. It's a very intoxicating power, isn't it? Imagine if you just suddenly grab like this and, you know, gold chain comes in your hand. You know, we would like to grab. There are many people who are thieves who like to grab gold chains from the Matajis, but, you know, you can't do it. If you do it, you'll be caught. Imagine if you can just grab out of thin air something, whatever you want, prapti siddhi. How irresistible is that? You know, once you've got it, how difficult is it, how easy is it for you to not use it? Kirine, this is a distraction, you know, I am not after this. I want to ultimately attain the Paramatma. How practical is this to do? Very difficult. You should understand, if we have that power, will we be able to resist using it? Chal, ek baar try karke dekhta hun. Like Kunti Maharani, she was given a boon, she was innocent, she said, let me try one, just for curiosity's sake. She decided to try. What happened? Karna was born. Just 1 second. And the whole course of the destiny changed because of that. One mistake, because of small temptation, to try out a boon, whole destiny of the whole Mahabharata, everything changed because of that. One thing. Right? So, when you have something like that in hand, it has been given to you for all the austerities you have performed. How practical is it to assume that we will not get distracted by it? Very difficult. So, therefore, we see that these two processes, all these processes, jnana, then even karma, where you perform, you know, perform yajnas and you do, you know, various sacrifices for the pleasure of the Lord, give up the fruits of your activities. It is possible, but it's very difficult, not so practical to do. Therefore, we look at the process of bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti yoga, the process of devotional service, it depends on the gradual development of our consciousness. Where? In the association of sadhus. So, adhau shraddha tatha sadhu sanga tatha bhajana kriya. We come in the, with a little faith. It doesn't require any, like you see, Jnana requires great intelligence. Dhyana requires great sense control. What does this require? Nothing. Little bit of faith. Adho Shraddha. With little faith, we can begin the process of bhakti. We come in the association of sadhu. We engage the senses in blissful activities. Instead of controlling the senses, I won't do this. No, I won't look at this. No, I don't touch this. No, I shouldn't do this. I should be in my house. I should close all my windows. I should not look outside. Nothing of the sort. Rather than that, in the process of bhakti, what are we doing? We are trying to engage our senses in the service of Gopinath. We want to look at beautiful things. Prabhupada says, look at the deity of the Lord. Look at the darshan of the Lord. Look at how beautifully He has been dressed. Look at the flute, how nicely, at what angle it is standing. Look at His eyebrows, how nicely they are, arched. Look at His lotus eyes. Look at His lips. Look at the beauty of the Lord and engage your sense of sight. Engage your sense of smell in smelling the dhoop, the flowers that have been offered to the Lord, the sandalwood paste that has been offered to the Lord. When we go for Guru Puja, the devotee applies, to a hand. It's a very beautiful fragrance. You can keep smelling that for a long time. It's intoxicating. You want to be intoxicated? Be intoxicated by the attar that has been offered to the Supreme Lord. Right? The fragrance that has been offered to the Supreme Lord. So, you want to hear nice things? Hear Harikatha. Hear the ecstatic kirtan of the Lord. There are so many devotees in ISKCON who are absolutely wonderful. They have the ability to touch our hearts by their kirtan. Not just melodious, but with bhakti. When a devotee sings with devotion, to please the devotees, not for showing one's skill in singing. We have to also be careful when we sing. We should not sing to show off our abilities. We should sing to please the devotees. We should speak to please the devotees. So, when we hear this blissful kirtan, it has the ability to touch our hearts. When we see the beautiful aarti of the Lord, the shingar darshan that is being shown, there is a shank that is blown, very auspicious sound of the conch shell being blown. Then there is one devotee who is offering, dhoop. One devotee is, showing a mirror. One devotee is spraying, this light perfume on the Lord. So it's a very beautiful experience. All these experiences, beautiful ways to engage our senses in blissful activities which touch the soul. What to speak of eating prasad? Of course, prasad everyone can relate to. When we eat delicious prasad which has been offered to the Lord, it is very, very pleasing to the body, to the mind and to the soul also. When you speak of Mahaprasad, when you eat Mahaprasad, which is directly offered to the Lord, if you are fortunate enough to get something from the thali which has been offered to the Lord, eat that and understand what is bliss. Straight away one can understand what is the meaning of bliss in Krishna consciousness by just having Mahaprasad. So, bhakti, as you said, it starts with what? Doesn't require many qualifications. Then, we are engaging the senses in blissful activities. It does not depend on our capability or our hard commitment. It depends on the Lord's capability and the Lord's mercy. So how important is the difference? If you look at the other processes, it is depending on my shakti to control my senses. My intelligence to understand what is being spoken in the scripture. It depends on my abilities. But here it is depending on what? On the Lord's abilities. And the Lord is unlimited. The Lord is unlimitedly powerful. The Lord is unlimitedly merciful also. You see, if someone is just powerful, you may feel worried. But what about me? I am so fallen. I don't deserve. But the Lord is unlimitedly merciful also. He is just looking for us to ask Him for that mercy. He is waiting. That when will this devotee come, stand before me and beg for mercy. That my Lord, please give me your mercy. And He is waiting to give. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chasing after devotees, chasing after people. Nityananda Prabhu was chasing after people. Please take this. I have come to give you the mercy which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. All you need to do is accept it. Kuch karna nahi hai. Don't have to make any great efforts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has opened the treasure house of the love of Krishna. The love that the gopis of Vrindavan had, that love he has opened up for everyone. Come take it. Don't come as though I will come to you and give it to you. Nityananda Prabhu is so merciful. So, the Lord has already given us that mercy. We have to just accept it. Just be willing to accept it. So, the process of bhakti is what? The process of bhakti is simply this. That we perform the activities that the acharyas have given to us. Why? So that it can attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Once the mercy of the Supreme Lord takes over, then we don't have to do anything. It is like what? If I have to catch a flight from Mumbai to, let's say, I am going to, let's say, New York. If I have to catch a flight from Mumbai to New York, what is the effort I have to make? I have to just reach the airport. That's it. Once I reach the airport, the process takes over. Fir uske baad aapko kuch karna nahi hai. Just the effort to get up on time, keep all your documents and reach the airport. Once you reach the airport, people will keep pushing you towards your destination. You know, oh, show me your, okay, your boarding pass, go in this queue. You go in that queue, first they will do immigration, then they will send you, okay, now go to this queue, security. After security, you go this. It's a straightforward process. You just keep going through. And once you went and sat in that plane, after that what? Are you putting any effort telling the driver, hey, chalo, chalo, thoda fast chalo. You know, mere ko pahunchna hai New York. No. You just went and sat down in the plane. After you sit down in the plane, what do you have to do? Basically nothing. Just be in the plane. Do not disturb the other passengers. If you disturb other passengers, what happens? They say troublesome passenger. Then what do? They land the plane. Instead of New York, they land the plane in Dubai. They will offload the passenger and they will take off again and go to New York. Right? So what we have to do? Just don't trouble the fellow passengers. Koi takleef mat uthao. Just baithe raho, you will reach the destination. So in the same way, in the process of bhakti, once we take shelter, what is our shelter? What is our effort? What is our airport? This is our airport. Radha Gopinath temple, this mandir, we are coming here. This is our shelter. This is our airport. You just come here. After we come here, automatically we are transported to the spiritual world. When we take shelter of the process of bhakti, it is like a declaration to the Lord, my Lord, I am coming to your airport now. I am coming. It is a declaration. Then after that, Lord says, okay, baith jao bhi plane mein, I will take you. Now on the journey, there may be bumps. There may be a lot of turbulence on the way. You know, flight will go like this sometimes. And you say, hey, kya, what flight I have taken? Better I had not taken the flight only. Mar gaya toh kya hoga? I may die on the way. You may die on the way, that's okay. But the Lord will ensure in your next life also, you will get into the flight automatically. And the flight will not start from Mumbai again. It will start from Dubai because your flight crashed in Dubai. So this is the process of bhakti which is so merciful. This is the process of bhakti which is so merciful where the Lord says in the Gita, Neha Vikramanashosti Pratyavayana Vidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. So even if we have made 40% progress in this lifetime, we couldn't make it to New York. Nahi ho paya. Despite whatever efforts, maybe old age, we died early, or we got distracted, maybe something happened, whatever happened, and we stopped. But we made that 40% progress, we left that flight. Next life, again you will be introduced. Hey, dekho beta, flight, chad jao. And we will automatically be able to carry on from there. So this is the merciful process of the Lord. And the Lord says, if in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, that if one sincerely takes shelter of this process of bhakti, which is, you know, just taking shelter, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. If one sincerely just takes shelter of bhakti, you know, does not offend devotees, comes in the association like this, hears Harikatha, does Kirtan, does the basics, bahut jyada nahi karna hai. Then Krishna says what? For them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. This is what Krishna says in the 12th chapter, 12.7. Swift deliverer. You know, he doesn't, he will come and just grab you and take you away if you are sincere. He will not delay the process. Delay from whose side? Our side. We go up to the airport terminal, but we don't get into the flight sometimes. We wait. Nay, nay. Maybe I'll take the next flight, you know. This is, I'm not ready. Lord is waiting. You are willing to go now, He will take you now also. Our problem is we are not willing. We don't want to go back to Godhead. We think that, you know, if I go back to Godhead, I'll only be serving. I'll not be enjoying. What about my enjoyment? What about my family? What about my reputation? I mean, abhi tak kuch naam nahi banaya kuch ke liye. I want to make a name for myself. So, because of our attachments, you know, the previous part of the chapter, all these things are mentioned. Because of our attachments, we are in this material world. We are stuck here. Because we are attached. We think I am this body. We think that I am, this intelligence is mine. With this intelligence, I will capture so many countries. With this intelligence, I will be at the top of my profession. I will become a big businessman. I will become the best devotee in Radha Gopinath temple. So we are thinking, I will achieve, I will attain. This is what I will do. Right? As long as we have these attainments in our hearts, we are going to be here in this material world. We'll stay here. The moment we say that I'm done, my Lord, you know, I will continue serving you till my last breath. I'll continue serving you. If you want to take me, you take me. If you don't want to take me, that's okay. I'll continue serving you. That is the thing Krishna is looking for. What is your consciousness? Are you willing to serve? You just want to serve the Lord. You want to serve the Vaishnavas. That's it. Lord is waiting to take you back. Swift deliverer. So another point that is made in this is that one may think that, you know, if I am intelligent, if there is intelligence, he says, one who is really intelligent doesn't make a show of philosophical wizardry. So one who are jnanis, for example, there is a tendency to show off their knowledge. There are many examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Gopinath Acharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, had already given advance notice to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just a sannyasi. He is not just some ordinary sannyasi. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has all the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. And it is mentioned also in this scripture, that scripture. Matlab, advance intimation was given that Supreme Lord is coming. But Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he was not convinced. He was arguing and arguing. So later when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya saw him and he served him also. Not that he just, you know, he served him. He said that, you know, he had fallen down in the temple, near the temple. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya lifted him, took him to, you know, his home. And then when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely beautiful and attractive to observe. Very, very beautiful. 7 feet tall and long arms, beautiful eyes, golden complexion. Extremely attractive to see. So, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, like an elder uncle, you know, who sometimes feel ki, beta, ye sab nahi karna chahiye aapko, you know, thoda sambhal ke raho. You know, the elderly relatives sometimes come and advise. So, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is also advising the Supreme Lord. Now, he's already been told, not that he's completely unaware. He's already been told that this is Supreme Lord. Take shelter. Instead, what does he do? You know, I think, you know, you should take shelter of the Shariraka Bhashya of Vedanta Sutra. Are you aware of it? I'll teach you. You just listen. I'll teach you. And then for 7 days, you know, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was giving him, suno, main batata hu, I know so much about the Vedanta Sutra. I will teach you. And he was teaching the Supreme Lord what is Vedanta Sutra. And after 7 days were over, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not responding. There was no questions, no answers, no change in expression, not a flicker. Sometimes that happens, you know, you're giving a lecture and people are staring at you. And you become nervous, ki kya ho raha hai, you know, am I saying something wrong or am I saying something very uninteresting? So he became nervous after 7 days. 7 days he was speaking, you can imagine. After 7 minutes people become bored. For 7 days Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is patiently listening to his Mayavad interpretations of the Vedanta Sutra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavad Bhashya Sunile Hoye Sarvanash. Says, you'll be completely destroyed if you listen to Mayavad Bhashya. So only Supreme Lord can hear Mayavad Bhashya for 7 days and still not get bewildered, because he is Supreme Lord. Anyone else hears like this 7 days, in 7 hours they will be finished. Their bhakti will be finished. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard for 7 days and then he asked that, Bhai, are you understanding anything? There is no expression, nothing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, actually, I didn't understand anything. Kuch bhi nahi samajh mein aaya. And Sarvabhamata, you can imagine a person who's invested 7 days in preaching. 7 din tak lagatar maine isko prachar kiya hai. Aur isko end mein bolte na, pura sab kuch khatam hone ke baad, pura Ramayan khatam hone ke baad puchte Ram kon hai. Like that. So it was like that. So he was very angry. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, he said that the statements of the Vedanta Sutra are bright like the morning sun, but your interpretations are obscuring the, the understanding, true understanding. So then he explained to him and then he became a devotee. Similarly, Prakashanand Saraswati, when he was approached by that Maharashtrian Brahmin, so he also told, same thing happened. So already Prakashanand Saraswati and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, they are like alumni. They are like same college, same school of thought, Mayavad and Advaita philosophy, very Shankaracharya's philosophy, very strong proponents of that philosophy. And ek ka already wicket gir gaya, aisa sunne mein aaya, it spread far and wide, that already Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has become Vaishnava, he is chanting Hare Krishna. And this Prakashanand Saraswati had also heard about it. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone there to Prayag, it's Prayag, right? So in Prayag, there, this Maharashtrian Brahmin, he went and gave advance notice to Prakashanand Saraswati that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not ordinary person. He is a Supreme Lord. He has all the characteristics of a Mahapurush. Look at his arms, look at his nose, look at his eyes which stretch up to his ears. Look, his hands stretch up to his knees. All the characteristics of a Mahapurush, and plus he is a Supreme Lord, this, that, so many things he spoke. And Prakashanand Saraswati, what is it? See, this is what happens when you have great knowledge in your heart. What was his reaction? He said, he is just a sentimental pretender sannyasi. This is the reaction of a jnani when someone is saying this is Supreme Lord. He was trying to give him scriptural references, but that didn't work. He was not willing to agree. So if we are on that path, that great intelligence is there, there is a tendency to think that I know more than these sentimental devotees. Ye devotees khali Hare Krishna karte rehte hain. They have no understanding of scripture. They are very, very naive, very innocent. They don't know anything. He told the Maharashtrian Brahmin also, I think like he hypnotized Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya by this sannyasi, he has some powers of hypnosis, it seems. So he must have hypnotized this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya same way as hypnotized you also. But then ultimately when he saw the Supreme Lord, when he saw him in that baithak, and he lifted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then he heard from him, then his heart was transformed. Right? So actually this intelligence is not impressive to the Lord. He is not interested in how intelligent we are, how much scripture we know, how much we are able to quote. He is not interested in all these things. In fact, very often this becomes offensive, as we just discussed. And ultimately people who are on the path of jnana, it is described, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So after many lifetimes, these jnanis come to the conclusion that vasudeva sarvamiti, That this Vasudeva, Supreme Lord Krishna, is everything. Everything is included in Krishna, material, spiritual. I am trying to discriminate what is material, what is spiritual. But both these material and spiritual energies are ultimately coming from Krishna. He is everything. So if ultimately you are going to come to that conclusion, then why not surrender to Krishna now? Why wait? So therefore, Krishna is saying that bhakti is the only way, the ultimate way. But we should use our intelligence rather than getting into other processes. Use our intelligence to understand that bhakti is superior to other forms of attaining the absolute truth. At the same time, you should understand bhakti is not, you know, the point that's made here, that bhakti is not non-philosophical or anti-intellectual. So it's not as if the process of bhakti is, you know, just some sentimental thing. Nor is it against intellectuals. No, both are not correct. So if we think that bhakti is not philosophical, that is wrong. We see there are so many shastras in bhakti. There is the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Nectar of Devotion, there is the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's enough. There's a whole lifetime of, you know, the Sat Sandarbhas written by Jiva Goswami. There's an unlimited ocean of philosophy if one wants it. भाई जिसको चाहिए भाई हमको तो philosophy होना है हमको ये सब sentiment नहीं चलता है पहला philosophy फिर हम भक्ति करेगा okay read there is enough Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and all these books itself are a lifetime project for us to understand. Prabhupada said if one verse also you take shelter of Gita you can perfect your life. So if you are willing to do that, shastras are available. At the same time, you know, we are not against intellectuals also. So there are many intellectuals who have been there in the movement, in our parampara. Like Jiva Goswami is widely accepted as the greatest scholar definitely amongst the Vaishnavas, but also as the greatest Vaishnava, greatest scholar of all time, including all the scholars of Western religion and Western world. The greatest scholar of all time was Jiva Goswami, who is one of the acharyas in our parampara. So Jiva Goswami in his lifetime composed 4 lakh verses. Can we understand what that means? 4 lakh verses in Sanskrit language in perfect meter and perfect grammar. 4 lakh verses. And at that time they did not have Microsoft Word. You know, ki kuch type karte hain, nahi, ye kuch jama nahi yaar, isko delete karo, wapas likho. He used to write on palm leaves and straight away jo likha wo likha, that's it. So this is what kind of acharyas we have in our parampara. We should be very proud of the acharyas that we have, who have scrutinizingly studied all the scriptures and given us the essence of dharma. Nana shastra vicharan ek nipuno sat dharma samsthapako. We should understand that this is what we have in our parampara. We also have devotees who are completely illiterate. Like we have Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj, who was an illiterate person, who had not studied anything. But who took shelter of him? Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, who was the Guru Maharaj of Srila Prabhupada. He was the greatest living scholar at that time. When he was there, he was the greatest of greatest scholars. But he took shelter of a person who's illiterate. What logic is this? Can we imagine? Can you imagine if someone wants to study, like today, if you want to study, you are appearing for, let's say, IIT entrance. You know, IIT ka entrance exam ke liye koi pad raha hai. Ya medical ka entrance exam ke liye koi pad raha hai. Where will you go to learn? What is the tattva of these entrance exams? How do I crack this entrance exam? Where will you go to learn? You go to Kota. You go to all these coaching classes. Fiji, Pace, these, that. So many hundreds of coaching classes are there now. Right? You'll go there, no? Or will you go to the neighborhood dhobi? Bhaiya. I say, bhaiya, mereko IIT jana hai jara. Aap mereko kuch bata do na. Kuch to batao. Tell me something. Where will we go? We'll go to someone who we know is absolutely brilliant and can teach the essence. Acha, shastra mein aisa bola hai, but iska ye hai, this is what applies to you. That is the person we'll go to know. So imagine the greatest scholar of that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has taken shelter of an illiterate person. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Why? Because of the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is so powerful. Simply by chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have to have faith. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by taking part in the process of bhakti, the form of the Lord is first revealed. The Lord will reveal from within His own form to us by simply chanting the holy names. Then the guna, the qualities of the Lord will be revealed. Then the pastimes of the Lord will be revealed. Ultimately a full understanding, not a full, we never get a full understanding of the Supreme Lord, but whatever is required for us to understand the Lord and our relationship with Him, everything is revealed simply by chanting the holy names. And here it is mentioned that one who knows Krishna, if you know Krishna, Krishna is the source of all knowledge. If you are connected to the Supreme Lord, all knowledge is available. The soul is anyway, it is full of knowledge. It is just that it is covered by Maya, it is covered by anarthas. By process of bhakti, these coverings are removed and the soul's true nature is revealed. And by connection to Krishna, all knowledge is revealed. We see Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was also such a witty person. Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogantam yena mam upayantite tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam Dadami buddhi yogantam yena mam upayantite. Krishna gives intelligence. If a person takes shelter, tesham satata yuktanam, if we are constantly engaged in the process of bhakti with all our heart and soul, Krishna gives intelligence. That's why Prabhupada was so witty, hazir jawab, as you say. People would try and challenge him, and on the spot Prabhupada would immediately smash them. So these are all things that bhakti is not, it's not non-philosophical. So there's a lot of philosophy. It is not against intellectuals also. We have a lot of intellectuals also in our movement. In our previous acharyas, in our current generation, there are so many who are so intellectual. Right? So we are not against both. But by faithfully accepting the words of Krishna as the absolute truth, one attains perfect knowledge. That's what is the last part of this purport that we read. That simply by faithfully accepting the words of Krishna as the absolute truth, one attains perfect knowledge. Accept what Krishna is saying here in this particular verse. If we simply accept this one verse, our life can be perfect. Complete knowledge is there in this one verse. What is this one verse? Krishna is saying, only bhakti. Take shelter of process of bhakti. In the previous verses, he has described what is this bhakti, what are the activities. It is described in the previous verses. Here he is saying, only bhakti to attain me. And how? Bhakti is not possible without satsanga. Which brings us to the other important part of this, this particular purport. Bhakti is not possible without satsanga, without the association of devotees. Even though we are saying it is so easy, what does it need? Little bit faith. And then take shelter of the process. Chant the holy names, you know, read scriptures. If you have deities, worship deities. Nice. You don't have to do anything else. Very blissful. But still, Srila Prabhupada says, anyone who thinks that they can become a pure devotee in isolation, being alone, is insane. He doesn't say he is off the mark, he is taking too much of a challenge, bahut kathin karya utha raha hai, aisa kuch nahi bol rahe. Prabhupada is saying he is insane, he is mad. It's not possible. Without the association of Vaishnavas, we cannot attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is a very important point. We have to understand how important is the association. Let's spend a few minutes and then we can end the class. Association is one of the most important things in bhakti. We say ABCD of spiritual life, association, books, chanting and diet. Association is very, very important. I'll not say it's the most important, but it's a very, very important aspect. Of course, chanting is the most important. But association, I'll say, is even more important at different stages of our life. We came into devotional life because of association of devotees. We are sustained in bhakti because of spiritual, you know, association of devotees. And even at the last moment of our life, we need the devotees. So out of sheer good fortune only, when a person turns towards Krishna and says, oh, you know, Krishna, I mean, you may turn towards him for any reason. You know, arthi, artharti, jnani, jagyasu, whatever reason, you may turn towards Krishna, but you turn towards Krishna that, oh, Krishna, you're so beautiful. You know, thoda, can you solve my problem? So you approach the Lord for solving some problem, whatever your problem is. When you turn towards Krishna and you develop faith that He is God, what does Krishna do first thing? It is like when you get admission into some coaching class. First, what they do? They give you an iCard and they give you some books. Right? And they tell you, this is your classroom, go sit here. In same way, when we come in contact with Krishna, immediately He brings us in contact with His devotees. He brings us in the association of the devotees. This journey of bhakti, while it is blissful, if we are following the process of bhakti, actually, it is very blissful. You know, for one who is everyday chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is not difficult. It is not difficult. Actually, it is blissful. Chanting the holy names, if we put our life's energy into it, if we chant with sincerity, every day, every mantra, let me chant sincerely. The Lord reciprocates with that sincerity. We can feel the presence of the Lord in the holy name. That Hare Krishna, that Krishna, you can feel Krishna is there. If we chant with sincerity, if we chant with completion mentality, ki, चलो 16 माला करना है एक हो गया 15 बाकी है दो हो गया 14 बाकी है 10 हो गया 6 बाकी डबल फिगर्स में आ गया वेरी गुड 6 ही बाकी है अभी फटाफट नाउ आई विल स्पीड अप 14 हो गया 15 हो गया लास्ट राउंड हरे कृष्णा हां हो गया इफ दैट इज हाउ वी आर चैंटिंग 16 का 16 माला निकल जाएगा वी विल नॉट रियलाइज कृष्णा वी विल नॉट फील हिज प्रेजेंस बट इफ वी चैंट विद सिंसियरिटी दैट लेट मी चैंट दिस मंत्र नाइसली फॉरगेट आई मे हैव चैंटेड फॉर लास्ट 20 इयर्स आई हैव चैंटेड इन स्पेस्ड आउट वे फॉर लास्ट 20 days I have chanted in spaced out way. Last 15 rounds I have chanted spaced out. So, ek mala mein main kya ukhad lunga? What I am going to do? You know? No. Even that one mala, if we decide, no, now I will take shelter of Krishna, Krishna is there. He is available. So, we have to take this shelter. However, we understand, though it is a blissful process, if we try to do it alone, what mistake are we making? The same mistake that the yogis and the jnanis are doing. Ekantiki harir bhakti. Trying to do alone. Don't become a loner in bhakti. It's not possible. Prabhupada says it is insane. It is madness. Very impossible. We have a lot of stories. Of course, there's no time. So I'll not get into this. There's a story of Bharat Maharaj, who had gone through all the processes of bhakti, ado, shraddha, sadhu, sang, bhajan, kriya, anartha, nivritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti, he had reached bhava stage, final one, semi-final before prema. He had reached there, but from there he fell down. Why? Simply because no sadhu, sang, alone bhakti. He was sitting in forest and he was doing bhakti. He saw one deer and he got distracted. He started by speaking of distractions. Distractions are there in forest also. Even for such an accomplished person. Right? So you have to be so careful. We need association at all times. So, and also, the journey becomes much easier. You know, if the process of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada used to say that it is a very simple process. Simple why? What we have to do, it doesn't require some complex knowledge or great skills, controlling the senses, controlling your, you know, breathing, nothing. Sit in one place, chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. क्या है इसमें, क्या रखा है, सो सिंपल, anyone can do it, very simple, but Prabhupada said not easy, it's simple but it's not easy, meaning to continue chanting like this sincerely, to continue to engage your senses in the Lord's service and not engage in Maya's service, making the right choices at every stage in our life is not easy. So sometimes if we are not careful, this process of bhakti can also start feeling very difficult. Bahut katin karya hai, bahut mushkil hai. We'll start feeling struggling even in our bhakti. But if we are in the association of devotees, that journey becomes enjoyable. When you are with devotees, when you have some good friends in the temple, you know, you come to the temple and you have some friends with whom you can talk very freely. Bindas, you can share your heart. Dadati, prati, granati. You can share your heart with such devotees. It is very nice. It is very blissful. Then bhakti becomes blissful. Then all the struggles that you have, you hear, acha, aapka bhi struggle hai. Chalo, how are you solving it? And then you hear from each other. It is very blissful. Whereas if we are alone, we can become confused. We can become discouraged. So therefore, association of devotees. So two points we discussed. One, bhakti is the only way. Second, not possible without association of devotees. So how we can take association? I'll just quickly try to end here. So how to take association of the Lord? How to take association of devotees? Engage regularly in local satsangs, in the temple. Come for Srimad Bhagavatam class. Because just by coming here, you know, once I remember, I think Srinathji Prabhu or some Prabhupada disciple had mentioned that even if you come here and you sit in Bhagavatam class and you sleep all through, pura lecture mein soye, to bhi something is going into our ear, something is going into our consciousness. The name of Krishna, the name of Srimati Radharani is so auspicious. If we just hear it, even in our sleep, still we'll be benefited. What to speak if we are awake and listening and trying to say, yeah, tough point, but I have to try to apply this in my life, you know. What wonderful Krishna is also, like when we chant his holy names, if we listen to Bhagavatam, Krishna feels ecstatic. He feels, oh, they are listening to my katha. If after listening, we meditate on that point, we go down and while eating khichdi, we are discussing about the point. Ki yaar, ye tough point hai, lekin ye main karna jaruri hai. I need to do this in my life. Aapko kya lagta hai, Prabhu? Aapko kya lagta hai, Mataji? And you are discussing amongst each other. Krishna is ecstatic. Very, very good. They are discussing. Looks like he is going to make progress. Looks like this devotee is going to take the next step. Krishna is very ecstatic and he is waiting with the drops of mercy, chidakne ke liye. Achha, mehnat karna chahte ho, ye lo. Achha, he'll give you some mercy. So the Lord is ever willing, he's ever waiting for us to take those steps in the association of devotees. How to take association? Like this we take association. By coming to the temple, by coming to the satsangs, not just hearing. After hearing, what we have to do? We have to apply. Try to apply whatever we have heard. You know, if someone is talking about devotional service, bhakti mein seva karna chahiye, Vaishnavo ki seva karna chahiye, I must serve, I must serve, I must serve. You keep hearing this and then after the lecture is over, you take prasad and chalo yaar, ghar jayenge. No, you want to serve the Vaishnava student. Chalo, every day, every week I come for satsang and I just eat prasad and leave. So, in the early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada, he used to do everything. Everything. He used to cook. He used to set up the Vyasasan. He used to set up the, you know, the whole, the dari and whatever, you know, all the sitting place. He used to organize everything, sound system. Everything he used to do. After lecture was over, he would do kirtan. After kirtan was over, he would go. He would make all of them sit down. He would serve them prasad. After serving, you know, you say any second helping, he would serve and they would all eat well. So second, third helping also was there. Prabhupada was serving them. After serving was over, he would take the vessels inside. He would take the plates inside. He would wash the plates. He would wash the pots. Everything he would do. And after a long time, one devotee came to a Prabhupada and asked him, Swamiji, you seem to be doing a lot of things. Can I help you?
And Prabhupada said, I was waiting for you to ask. Because nobody had asked and Prabhupada didn't want to ask them. He wanted to serve them. So this is the consciousness of a pure devotee. He just wants to serve. He's not looking for service. But if someone is willing to serve, he will immediately engage them in the service of Shishi Radha Krishna. So by hearing, if you are willing to serve, that is satsang. Come into the association of devotees, hearing something, applying it. That is satsang. Then there are the six exchanges, you know, between devotees. Tadati, pratigranati, giving gifts, receiving gifts. Guhyam akhyati prachyati, you know, sharing confidentially. You know, Prabhu, I had this realization. I'm not sure whether this is correct. I just want to share with you. I observed this. I wanted to talk to somebody about it. Sharing confidentially with someone whom you trust. Akhyati, guhyam akhyati prachyati, and listening to them. And you know, encouraging each other. So association of devotees doesn't mean that two devotees came together and discussed, hey, kal match mein kya hua tha? That is not association. Association means we come together and we discuss Krishna Katha. We discuss our individual, you know, challenges in bhakti. We discuss that what can we do to improve our satsang. Apna satsang mein aur kya kar sakte hain hum log? What can we do to improve the Sunday feast program? There are so many devotees coming. What can we do to inspire? That is satsang. When devotees are coming together to plan, to plot how to bring more people into the process of bhakti. And how to make those who are in the process of bhakti more inspired. More making progress. That is association. And that is what gives us our strength. You have to understand that in the process of bhakti, there are four processes, right? A, B, C, D, we say. Four do's, four don'ts. Now, we are all chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. But we may not be chanting so attentively. We may not be taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books every day. Not everyone is able to do it. Practically speaking, nahi hota hai. We want to. We all have a desire to read Prabhupada's books and we should. But not everyone ends up doing it. Diet. We are supposed to eat only prasad. But for people who are working in, you know, offices, sometimes you are forced to eat non-prasad. Where is the purification coming from? Spaced out chanting, not taking shelter of books, eating prasad but not always. Purification kahan se aa raha hai? Purification comes from the association of devotees. If we regularly come and listen to Bhagavatam, if we regularly come and associate with devotees, if we regularly come and serve the Vaishnavas, serve the deities of the Lord, serve in the temple in whatever way we can, read the previous verses, all description is given, what services you can do. Everything is there. So if we do that, then that association will take care of everything. Your chanting is spaced out, come in the association, chant with devotees, your chanting will improve. Your reading is not happening, come in the association of devotees, you will run into somebody who has great taste for reading. And by associating with them, you will get taste for reading. So just by being in association of devotees, chanting, books, hearing, prasad, everything is taken care of. So, last point I want to make here, we should understand, sometimes when we come in the association of devotees, we may, you know, as they say, when two different personalities come together, there is friction. So when Vaishnavas come together, sometimes there is friction. Sometimes enmities also come about. You become enemies with a particular devotee. That, hey, devotee ke saath main kabhi baat nahi karunga. I'll never talk to him again. I can't stand his face. I can't stand this Mataji. What does she think of herself? So enmity may be there. Right? But we should understand, you know, this somebody made this point. I'm just repeating that point. Very powerful point for us to just meditate upon. Very powerful. One devotee was mentioning, I don't remember who, unfortunately. He said that imagine that suddenly you have an accident. And you are on your deathbed. Or you had some heart attack. Or you know, you are in the last stage of cancer. And you are on your deathbed. And there is nobody around. And you are trembling because of, you know, death is about to approach. You are trembling. Your words are not coming out. You can't even chant Hare Krishna. At that time, that enemy devotee comes and sees you in that state, what do you think that enemy devotee will do? What do you think? He will chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even if he or she is your devotee at that moment, seeing that this is what you need the most, wo devotee aapke kaam aayega. That devotee will chant the holy names and ensure that you remember Krishna in your dying moments. This is what is association of devotees. This is why even from the birth of our bhakti, janani, bhakti janani, from the birth of our bhakti we need devotees. To sustain in our devotional path we need devotees. Even at the last point, it is the association of devotees only which will save us and take us back to the shelter of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. So we have to make our life in such a way that we must always take association of devotees. So to summarize, we're saying we should have 100% faith. All of us who are here, who are connected with Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir or connected with ISKCON in any way or connected with the path of bhakti in any way, have 100% faith that it is the association of the devotees which is our most important shelter, which introduces us to Krishna and makes our journey back to Godhead a reality and a blissful experience too. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? One or two questions quickly. Questions or comments, anybody? Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Yes, question. Mic is coming.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. It was a really nice lecture. When I hear Harikatha and lectures, every word of it and everything seems so important. But so how I can best remember whatever has been spoken in the class? Means today's lecture I will forget within next 2-3 days at the most, you know. So how I can carry it, and so many years have passed, so how I can best carry the knowledge which we have discussed in the Bhagavatam classes, Hare and Krishna, the Gita classes and so on. Yeah.
So your special soul, you are saying in 2-3 days I will forget. I forget in 2-3 minutes. Okay, what I have spoken only I may forget. But what I have found practically useful is when we are listening to the lecture, you know, sometimes there will be one particular point that comes out and boof, hits us in the face. There will be something that really inspires us that the speaker spoke, which you found inspiring, which you found ki ha, ye acha point hai. What we should do, we should write it down. That time we should use Maya's agent, take it out. Note down what was spoken. You know, you have a phone ready. Everyone has a phone. Write a message. Write a WhatsApp to yourself, to your wife, to your other God brothers. Note down what points were spoken, because those points that were spoken by some devotee, right, which at that moment inspired you, are actually the super soul in the heart of the speaker, corresponding with you directly, because your super soul knows what you need to hear, and this super soul spoke something and it touched your heart. So we should note down those points. Immediately we should note down. Because then later on when we have challenges in bhakti, we can refer back to these points, because these points have touched our heart and they will serve as inspiration to take the next step. They are like gems that we have found. If you go scuba diving, you will find some gems. After you find the gem, what do? You don't throw it away. You keep it carefully, you know. In the same way, whatever we have heard, whatever lectures we have heard, a good practice is to take notes. Take notes, especially if we want to take shelter of those points. Take notes, go back home and read it or discuss with somebody. Another good way of remembering points that you have heard is to tell somebody. नीचे जाते ही प्रसाद में वो पॉइंट जो सुना जो आपको अच्छा लगा इमीडिएटली टेल टू पीपल हुआ सिटिंग विद यू फॉर प्रसाद जानना पहचान बट शेयर विद देम दैट ये पॉइंट सुना आपको क्या लगा व्हाट डिड यू फील व्हाट इज योर ओपिनियन सो बाय शेयरिंग दैट बिकम्स मोर फिक्स्ड इन आवर माइंड हरे कृष्णा जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रील गुरुदेव की जय श्रीमद भागवतम महापुराण की जय So one announcement, one quick announcement for the pleasure of the Lordship, Shri Radha Gopinath Ji, Shri Lalita Devi, Shri Vishaka Devi, Shri Gopal Ji, Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra,